Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Well, you know, today is Veterans Day, a day that we celebrate November the 11th, right, of our veterans, those mm-hmm. that have stood for us and to fight and defend our freedom. And this one thing we're hoping to be able to talk about in these few moments we have in this first half hour of our program is freedom's not free.
Nope.
You know, and the only way you really know that if you get close to those who are paying the everyday price.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Or get close to those that have come back from paying the price and pay the price to make sure they can get health care, that they can get into the VA and get treated, that we do not forego our part of the bargain that says we will take, since you fought for our freedom, we will fight for you to have a quality of life and have an occupation and have everything that you need to have a good life because you fought for the right for us to be able to have this freedom. Speaking of that, Steve, I want you to talk to us about, imagine, put us in a day. You did your two tours of duty in Iraq. Your two tours of duty in Iraq. And people can, it's a very disassociated mm-hmm. society.
Yeah.
But put us there. I mean, here you are getting up in, you know, you've been there, you're stationed there. It's just dirt and yep. sand. You know, begin to paint the atmosphere for us, for the soldiers that are standing for us right now in these areas. What is their day like?
Well, you got to take in consideration that every day is different. No day is the same, and especially when you've got like an upcoming mission, and you know, you're with your team, and the officer comes in, whoever your command, and just says, "Hey, we're about to go out," and gives you the whole details. We're going to be out for X amount of days, and once you actually leave the base, you're leaving friendly lines. There's no moment when you're not paying attention, because at any moment, you know, you never know, because you're outside of quote unquote friendly lines. Mm-hmm. And
you don't know who your enemy is, what their plans are going.
Nope. And that's one thing that I learned my first deployment is that the ones that are the nicest, yeah. those are the ones that are the most deadliest.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. Wow.
And that was something that was very shocking to me, is that one day you're having tea, sitting on the floor talking, 48 hours later, you're kicking down their door at 2 o'clock in the morning because they're a high value target. And
right. Wouldn't high value target means they were actually planning to kill our soldiers, yes. and harm right. people.
Yeah. Basically, like a VIP, a very important person.
Right.
And you didn't know this because you're gathering information, you're right. passing it back, and then they're like, "You need to go back."
Right.
And on a continual day, you're wherever house that we've established, we're getting our trucks ready. If they're not already ready, re-outfitting them with food and water, making sure that our gear's up to par and clean, because it doesn't matter if you got a full stomach.
Yeah.
If you can't put rounds out. And right.
and sand is the enemy of your gun, isn't it?
Exactly. And something that I learned that we were taught very, very in the early on is that horse saddle man. And what that means is that
horse
saddle.
Like a saddle on a horse?
Yes.
Okay.
Horse saddle man.
Oh, the order of those things.
Yes.
Okay.
And what that stands for is the fact that no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, if you're about to leave, if you're coming home, the first thing you focus on is your horse,
mm-hmm.
your weapon system, your rifle.
Mm-hmm.
That's the mentality.
Wow.
Saddle meaning your truck, whatever you're riding in, and then man mm-hmm. being yourself. You
right.
eat last.
Right.
And it's just like you're constantly being mindful of those around you. You're constantly being mindful of the fact that when we step off, when we're going on a right. mission, you're just aware.
We want to hear this. And I want you to stay tuned today, because we want to hear what it's like to put our shoes, have empathy mm-hmm. with the soldiers who are defending our cause right now.
Wow.
So you need to be able to know. You need to be able to know these things. So they're going to talk about it. It's a great little segment on NPR. I want to make that available for you as well. And so much more. Hopefully you get a chance to talk about a biblical worldview, a horizontal view versus a vertical view. Very few folks have a biblical worldview, and that's really not optional if you want to survive this thing.
That's all right.
And what does that really mean to have a horizontal view versus a vertical view or vice versa? And we're going to talk about that because a biblical worldview is a creator view and his perspective, the designer of all things. But I want to get back and talking. You know, we're just in the middle of a conversation about, you know, what is it like to be on the front lines? We're sitting here talking with Steve Kalaszewski, who's done two tours of duty in Iraq, and imagine he's kind of putting us there. And what is it like? And we want us to begin to empathize with that soldier who's out there now. Because that's the one thing the enemy tries to take from us is the ability to connect. And they need us to connect, and we need to realize what's going on and how we got here, because freedom is not free.
That's right.
Freedom is not free. And democracy, the right to be able to vote, requires people who are willing to get into what seems like a communistic organization to protect a democratic nation. Mm-hmm. I used to always talk about that. It's like, well, I'm being told what to do every 5 seconds when I was in the military. It's like, but it takes somebody who's willing to be a soldier.
Right.
To be a soldier, to fight for the cause for the folks who won't have to be a soldier so they can be free. Mm-hmm. And so Steve's talking to us about the horse, the saddle, and the man, I guess. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what does that mean in the context of being prepared and what they taught you?
You know, and before I can see now, I just want to give a background and just very quickly to know the fact, like you're saying, to empathize with those that are overseas right now. They didn't just get a rifle in their hand and step off of a plane and now they're, you know, in boots, standing in the sand. They went through significant training. They went through, like, for me personally, I went through schoolhouse, after training, after training, after training, after rifle range, after rifle range, more than 2 years before I even deployed, before I was able to be, quote-unquote, operational. And it's not something that you just get there. It's a huge entrustment knowing the fact that there are men to your left and to your right, and in some platoons, there's women to the left and the right.
Right.
And they want to know the fact that you can be entrusted to be over there. So
2 years of training. 2 years of sacrifice of your time. Did you get a bonus?
No.
I mean, just willing to say, I'm willing to stand up and defend the Constitution from enemies, foreign enemies, right?
Absolutely.
Wow.
So when we were overseas, when we were deployed, we did not have a 9-to-5 job. It wasn't, hey, I checked in. Okay, hey, you know, I can now check out. I can take off my suit. I can take off my uniform. This was a 24/7 mindset, mentality that you walked in, that you understood.
And that they're understanding right now.
Exactly. When most days are ending, when the sun is setting, that's when my day was beginning. That's right. When we would go out. We would walk under the cover of darkness in the aspect of, if you can't see me, that's good.
Right.
Or a lot of times we didn't have any other choice, so we had to go out when obviously no one else was going to be walking.
And that's patrol. You're correct. Basically going out to...
Correct. Mm-hmm. So we're going out. We're talking to people. We're trying to find out, hey, what's going on? And the hardest thing for me was the fact of seeing that there are actually societies that have houses built out of mud.
Right.
Literally. Mm-hmm. Children that don't have food, they don't have clothes, they're walking around barefoot. And to give a child a pencil, a piece of paper, a bottled water from America, kids will look at that and they won't even drink it. Or they'll pour it out just to have the bottle.
Mm. Wow.
And it blows your mind because... it puts so much into perspective about our culture, seeing how other people look at what we have and the blessings, and it's just like, oh my goodness.
It makes me think of when you were on a patrol, and here you were kind of huddled down and kind of covering yourself the way you do, and you happen to look over, and some little small boy, while he comes out with a bowl of cereal. Tell us what that was. What was that scene like? I mean, you know, first put us in the place, what were you doing, and then you observed that.
Where we were at, there was a unit that was finishing up their time in where they were operating, and then they had to have another unit to help them. So they called us to help them in support of the transition of one unit, basically transitioning out, basically like switching places. Mm-hmm. Well, no one had been there as far as American friendly forces, so the enemy had a lot of time to really fortify the area. I mean, there were bombs in trees. There were roadside bombs.
Danger was everywhere.
It was everywhere. And I had never seen it before. And before we even stepped off, my platoon sergeant said, if you don't think that you're not fighting this village and not just one person, you've already missed it. You just don't know. And
so he was preparing to put you in. And that's what we're trying to do now is, like, you know, we want to empathize.
Yes.
This is what our fellow soldiers, brothers and sisters are doing right now for us.
Yes.
And what have done for us. And that's what today's about, the Veterans Day.
Yes.
Focusing on what people have done, because freedom's not free.
Right.
Okay.
And in one of the operations that we had, there were Iraqis all around us. And on the hour, every hour, they would shoot indirect fire, which is basically mortars. And what it is, it's like a really big bullet, and that they would just lob and to hit us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were on a rooftop.
So it had a trajectory to kind of go up in the air and kind of come down, like throwing a football almost.
Correct.
Okay.
So they would shoot that from a really far distance, and that way we couldn't exactly pinpoint where they were. And
in the midst of this, you had a whole bunch of innocent folks.
Oh, yeah.
And then you had a whole bunch of guilty folks.
And you didn't know who was who.
Didn't know who was who.
Right.
So you couldn't just, like, mow everything down.
Right. So at one point, I remember being with some others on a rooftop on security, and there's mortars hitting the next roof.
Right.
At one point, there was a mortar that hit our roof, but the actual detonation was bad, and it was sticking in the roof, but it didn't go off.
Now, of course, Americans aren't. Now, they're thinking that you were standing on some shingles.
No.
On a shingled roof.
No, this is
kind of paint the picture what was light, what was the roof light, what was...
These roofs were all cement.
Mm-hmm.
They had about a four-foot wall all the way across it,
mm-hmm.
and imagine 30 feet by 40 feet, enough where you have plenty of room so that you can have that. And obviously there were only certain houses that we operated on, so where you could have that wall, which served as a protection, as a barricade.
So it wasn't like Home and Garden.
No, not exactly. But I wanted to paint that because it was just like just constant.
And bombardment from everywhere.
Right. And it was just like...
So every moment's a miracle that you're alive.
Right. And you are so aware of little sounds because there's a little it's hard to really describe, but it was almost a pop, because when a mortar round is shot at you, there's that real distant faint thud.
Right.
And you're listening for it, because as soon as you hear it, everybody on rooftop is now getting on the radio saying incoming, incoming.
Right.
So that everybody can get into cover, because you really,
that's the only warning you had was a little sound, because it was going to come eventually down
exactly.
the road.
Mm-hmm. So this is the type of things that were going on constantly.
Well, it makes me think of thunder and lightning, because they say, you know, when you see the lightning, you can actually count the seconds.
Yep.
Before you hear the thunder, and that's how many miles away it is. Mm-hmm. So you're actually hearing the ramifications of that lightning strike so many seconds down the road. So it's almost mm-hmm. like you're actually hearing it shot off,
mm-hmm.
but then the consequences show up.
Right.
When people die, it's terrible things that go down. Okay, wow. Wow, what anxiety the soldier must be feeling.
Yeah.
Even today, I mean, just think, and everybody's, they're pretty much, people are not dressed like tight clothes and tight pants. Everybody's in loose fitting. I mean, anything can be up under those.
And mind you, it's about 130 degrees right now.
Right.
Wow.
Not taking into consideration.
And you're in your bathing suit, I guess.
No. No. You're wearing full. Imagine like a flight suit. If you were to see a pilot, not everybody's seen a pilot, but basically it's a suit.
A jumpsuit,
basically. And you're wearing your flak jacket.
It's not a masculine terminology,
you've got
you're not
13.
In your summer attire.
Exactly.
Right.
You're just not comfortable.
Right.
You're not exactly dressed for show, but you're dressed for protection.
And you're carrying all your weapons on you.
Correct.
Right.
And amidst the water.
So and isn't your gun like tied to your chest, some sort of device that kind of holds it right there, or you're carrying it, or?
Correct.
Okay.
Everybody has their own little designs that works best for them.
Okay.
But amidst this, now... That was just
for everybody who's listening in, just to let you know, we're talking from a viewpoint because Steve did two tours of duty in Iraq, and today's Veterans Day, and we want to be able to empathize and connect with the soldiers that are there now, the ones that just left there, and the ones that have been barricaded from mm-hmm. going to see their memorials that we're celebrating today. But go ahead.
And during that 2 years of training that I told you about earlier, it was just repetition over and over, thousands of rounds, thousands of processes. If you walk into a house, what do you do? How do you shoot? How do you respond? So that the emotions are separated from the process.
Mm-hmm.
Your thought processes are not thought processes. They're simply reactions.
You do whatever you're trained to do at that point.
Exactly. Because
if you didn't get trained, it's...
Yeah, because at that moment when... Seconds now equate to lives.
Right.
Is that, you know, what
others' lives and yours?
Correct. So what I was
saying,
and
Iraqis,
exactly.
Well.
You know what I was saying before is that was just rooftop. That was just watching out for those who are on patrol. Then there was that time when okay, hey, your team now needs to go out, talk to people. Okay, hey, this happened last night. Go to this house, find out what's going on.
How hard is it? No, I know I hate to interrupt you, but how hard is it because you're there because to help the Iraqi people,
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, you can't tell the Iraqis you're there to help and the ones that are there to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that are there to hurt you, you actually have to potentially hurt them, but right. you're not supposed to hurt the ones. And this all of a sudden it gets real blurry.
Right.
And it's easy to get hard-hearted and say, well, everybody's bad.
Yeah.
And you think, well, what is my purpose being? What a tension for a soldier, you know, and then not to have our support, not to hear the news and we're saying anything negative about them fighting for our country.
You just really feel alone.
Yes,
you just
exactly.
really feel that you're just,
yeah.
the whole, everything I did was for naught.
Yeah.
And, you know, you asked that question about that little boy in that picture, and on that specific mission, that whole village was just, that was just a bad day. And I'm talking, I mean, rounds everywhere. You're just continually hearing the rounds going off. You're hearing explosion in the distance. You're hearing from about another unit that got hit or they got in contact.
So like you're imagining your last day on Earth.
You just don't know.
Right.
And at one point, we're trying to transition from one house to another. And you got to be mindful that in this area, snipers are real.
A
sniper is somebody that has imagine a rifle that has a very pinpointed ability to shoot at a point target from a very long distance away.
With a pair of binoculars and they're kind of zooming in.
Yeah. And this is not Medal of Honor. You know, if you're playing a video game, you don't get to respawn. You know, this is not like I get seven lives or, you know, I have more life. It's just like you have to be mindful of where you're standing.
We want to hear about this. We'll go to this break and come right back. You have to understand this little boy, this puts things in such perspective. I do want to say you can go to va.gov today, va.gov, and find out if there's a parade or some sort of celebration taking place. They have a map there at va.gov, and you can find them. One is going to be in Branson, Missouri today. Over 40,000 vets are coming together. Oliver North is there and going to be kind of having a big parade. He says it's just vets everywhere. He says it reminds you of a Norman Rockwell painting.
Oh, wow.
There's so many people from the wars that's there. It's pretty exciting. But they're all over the country. It's going to be in Branson, Missouri today. If you're right there, some of our listeners and viewers that are there in that area, you might want to show up. But also, you can go to va.gov and find one in your area. Steve's talking to us. And continue to talk to us, Steve, if you would, about here you are in this village. And it is a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
And that totally means something different than a typical American bad day.
Yeah.
This is a bad day. You're on the front lines. Mortar fire is coming from everywhere. You're hearing snipers are out mm-hmm. there. You're there to replace a watch that was there. I mean, just,
yeah.
I mean, you don't even know. I mean, you don't know. Right. Are we going to even make it through this moment? You know, and this is what's happening right now with our soldiers that are out there.
Yeah.
And tell us, I mean, here you are under this great tension. Who's for us? Who is against us? Why are we even here? Please don't show me the news again because it's really throwing me off because they're saying terrible things about us out here on CNN and,
right.
and mm-hmm. MSNBC. They're saying these things about us. It's like, what are we doing? Is anybody right. for us?
Right.
And so what's going on?
So as I was saying before, it's just like we're in the process of moving. You know, the team I operated with, we had six guys on our team. And it wasn't just like,
just
you know,
six.
We're on a college
six
campus.
Six guys.
We're going from.
Six guys.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? Six guys, but Marines.
Yeah.
That's like 400
Not
sailors.
Just six, any guys.
That's like 400 sailors.
Right.
Just joking. I was in the Navy. I'm just joking.
And now we're trying to transition from house to house. We're trying to go through the village. And it's not just like, hey, I'm walking on campus. You know, I can just kind of cut through the library and enjoy.
You're not kissing and hugging babies and all that
type
of stuff.
You're so mindful. You're talking, hey, I need to cross from this side to this side.
You held your hand to your head when I said we're talking. Does that mean like you're, what does
that mean? Not everybody in the team had radios,
right.
but those that did were able to share. It's just like if you had a radio in your ear or on your shoulder somewhere and be like, you're talking to somebody in your team. Hey, I'm at this corner. I'm at the northeast corner. Be advised. I want to move this direction. Will you watch basically the road I'm trying to cross mm-hmm. so that I have cover?
Cover. Okay.
Basically.
Wow,
so
yeah,
basically,
beautiful.
If someone were to shoot me, you can shoot back so that I can cross. And it's called like grazing fire or it's called basically covering fire.
Mm-hmm.
So you're stopping someone from shooting at me. So
in the kingdom of God
you.
Is called intercession.
Yes.
Pray for me. I'm going
right,
out.
Right.
And cover
yeah.
me in prayer.
That's
wow.
good.
And at this point, like I said, it's so mindful where you stand because I want to stand where I, you know, somebody can't see me from a distance. And as I'm sitting there, like I said, you're just so detached. There's not any emotions. When you see people, if somebody's got a weapon in their hand, you've trained to for that mindset of, you know, they're just a silhouette. And what a silhouette is, like if I'm on a rifle range, it's that cutout of a person where, okay, that's enemy, that's friendly. That's enemy, that's friendly. That's what I'm thinking.
You're trained to kill.
Exactly.
When I was in law enforcement, we trained in the K5 zone, which is the kill zone.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm sitting there, and I'm...
You don't shoot to wound like you would in the movies. This is the real deal.
This is real.
I won't even go there.
So you're walking through, you're contacting them on the radio.
Correct. And I go to take a knee, and I'm looking out to see where I need to go, and I'm at the corner of a building, and I look left, and there's a door to my left. And now the door begins to open. So...
The tension. You don't know who's on the side of the door.
Yeah. And I go to raise my door, and I see these little feet come out.
You go to raise your gun?
I go to raise my rifle and look at to my left.
Towards the door.
Towards the door. And I'm probably 6 to 8 feet away.
You don't know what kind of silhouette is it going to be? Nothing, is it going to be somebody with a gun to shoot me? No. Is it going to be a friendly person?
Yeah.
But that door, that simple little thin door, was the thing that separated you from what's going to happen. Imagine the anxiety.
Right.
Oh, wow.
And this little boy comes out.
No.
Not a day over two years old.
In the midst of all this tragedy, this bombing and these shootings and all this stuff going on. Oh, my goodness.
And he's got a bowl, you know, to this day, I don't remember, but he's got a bowl of something, and he sits down on the stoop, puts his feet out.
In the midst of all this?
In the midst of all this. And that's what really broke my heart, is that there are children that grow up in this.
Yes.
They, you know, just very briefly, I remember walking through a house. We were searching a house, and I opened up a desk cabinet, and a child was doodling AK-47s and roadside bombs, and it was just
doodling,
like,
means making sketches.
Yeah, like with cartoons and with crayons, and it just really broke my heart. So, and I'm looking, and this little boy sits.
You're back in this place again.
I'm back in this place, and this little boy sits down, and he's eating a bowl of something.
So the door opened up, and it was a 3-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he just watches me.
He sits on the stoop in the midst of all this tragedy while you're covering yourself. Your anxiety is high. You don't know if you're going to live or die or not. It never crossed his mind.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
talking about two paradigms here, huh?
And I just sat there, and it was just like
he took his shoes off too, kind of sat up.
He was they don't have shoes. It was just how they are.
Right.
And it was like that moment of peace amidst utter chaos. And I just held on to that. Like I didn't. I just held on to that image through that whole day.
You even took a picture of it.
I took a picture of it.
By the way, you're going to be able to see this picture on the torch at VFNTV.com.
And it just rattled me so much, because there were so many different paradigms of the fact that this boy, this is where he lives, this is what he grows up in. And it was like that one moment of just like it stopped. Everything stopped in that one moment of just looking at this little boy of just like, it was like a piece that it was just powerful. And, but it was so hard because I had no emotion, and it was almost like I began to look at myself as just like, I'm a machine. I just, you know, squeeze triggers. And it was so scary because I couldn't feel anything, but yet I was seeing what usually is a tender moment. And it just brought so much hardship to me, and in kind of in those same moments when there he is.
I don't interrupt you. Keep on. You're saying
it's in those same moments. It was just like I kind of connected with that again. It was just like when we went through when we had contact, and there were those that got hit, and there were those that were killed during operations. And I would look back, and I would try to force myself to cry. And it scared me, realizing that I had no emotions, because it was like you had to be so detached, because you couldn't be attached.
One of the protection mechanisms is disassociate your emotion. If you become, you know, emotionally invested in this, it's going to cost you them, and cost you and cost you your brother or sister in arms, right?
Right, right. And it was just that they don't teach you that. That's not something that's written down in a book somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something that, you know, when you come home, you're learning of just like, okay, how do I turn this off?
Right.
How do I untrain this? They don't They don't do that.
This is when our veterans are coming back and people think, well, everything's fine now.
Yeah.
Everything's fine now. Let's just go back to our not having to fight for our freedom mentality.
And it's like,
I just did. How do I integrate that? This had to happen because of that. Wow.
And for me, getting out of the Marine Corps was the hardest part because it's that transition of just like, I went through 2 years of rigorous, unrelentless training, and then it's a handshake and thank you for your service. Good day, sir.
Right.
And you come home and you listen to the conversations, and all the while you have those same encounters of children holding on to the piece of paper you gave them while you're coming home and listening to people saying, I need to get the new iPad 3.
Right.
And you're like, what?
Right.
So
today, you think about it, we're celebrating Veterans Day. And think about it this way. We're celebrating those who have. Mm-hmm. We're acknowledging those who are, and we're actually looking at ourselves to find out how have we been responding to the veterans. That's why it was so tragic to see barricades to be put in the front of these memorials, because just like Steve's talking about, we blocked these men and women from going to look at a simple little thing we put together to say that we will never forget that our freedom that we have had to be fought for.
Yeah.
And if you go to different memorials, there's different, like when you go to the Vietnam Memorial, you know, you see names of men and women whose lives were taken, hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
You go to World War II, you see golden stars that represent all the lives that were taken. It's like, these are people that gave their lives for us.
Yeah.
You know, Steve did 2 tours of duty, which is a tongue twister for me to say that all the time.
You're doing well, though.
I know. Isn't that amazing? Oh, yeah. And that in Iraq, and he's filling us in. If you missed it, you got to hear this whole previous, the first parts of the program. We're talking about it. But today's Veterans Day, and we want to focus. We want to really dedicate today's program on Christian Television Network and on VFN Radio around the world to, you know, what does it mean? What does Veterans Day mean? It's like, so many people really think about it as like, do I get off?
Yeah, right.
Can I go do something? It's like, really? Is that
do
what you're
going to do? Do I get paid for this day?
Yeah, do I get paid for this day? And we're finding out, if you missed it, you can go back and hear it and hear it on the VFN Torch, or just go back and listen to the program and watch the program. But these soldiers are just living on the edge so that you can live in your condo. They are training day and night and putting their life in jeopardy, and many times giving their lives so that we can be free. Freedom is not free. It's just not free. And, you know, obviously there's not a ton of, it takes a lifetime to explain just one tour, I'm sure. But Steve's talking to us about what it was like for him to be in Iraq, and you gotta hear it. It's really just put you there, but also how a three-year-old's perspective shifted everything.
Yeah,
and you can see this young boy's picture on the torch. But he's sitting there with his bowl of food, just kind of feet crossed over each other, watching this man all cammed out in his jumpsuit and his weaponry with 6-5 other guys, just trying to survive the moment and keep America free.
Mm-hmm.
And just took things into perspective there. But then you have to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then it's time for, okay, you're going to leave. You know, being in law enforcement, I won't talk too much about me, but I can kind of relate, because every night I had to come back. Every night I would go straight out, and this should help you empathize with your law enforcement officers that are out there, because they're the ones that go out every single day.
Exactly.
But they're not away for a year or two in the whole zone where you can be in 24 hours a day. They got to shut down and shift.
It's the other street.
Yeah, it's the other street. Right. Sometimes across the street.
Yeah.
And in the context of that they have to reboot, like Steve's about to talk about, how, as a soldier, and kind of like listen to the standard, nothingness of sometimes people's existence.
Is that really what you're talking about?
I just almost died on the streets out there. And so here you were going through all that, and now you've got to come back to America. And you had to avoid the news, because the news is like, are we even being supported in this war? Is the Congress even supporting us? The ones that sent us here, are they supporting us? It makes no sense, because the whole purpose of declaring war is that we as a nation are saying this is something we need to do.
Right.
Therefore, it's something we need to fund. We need to do it. We need to get done with it, and we need to come back home again. But those lines are getting so blurry nowadays. And to be a soldier on the front line, listen, these vets are to be admired. Mm-hmm. They're to be honored. And today is a day, the Veterans Day. You can go to va.gov and find out there's a parade or celebration around you today. If some of our listeners and viewers are in Washington, D.C., I encourage you to go to the memorials and just be there. And you'll see some vets come up. But just be there and just soak this moment in and realize freedom's not free. And right now there is a whole outright assault on the freedom of America. And the adversary would love to be able to take our freedom away. And if we don't understand what it takes to keep freedom, and that's what Steve's talking to us about, is we'll lose it. Right. We will lose it. And so many people want it. Few want to fight for it. And few understand it requires being able to fight for your freedom, because freedom's not free. And so here you are coming from that environment, this intense environment, and you're going to be just, you know, what happened? How does that work?
Well, to me, that was the hardest culture shock, was to come back to my quote-unquote own culture. And to understand that is like when you're in an operational team, when you're in an operational deployable unit, as like you just came back from war, is that everybody had their own responsibility. Everybody was on the same page. Everybody was in unity. Everybody understood the fact
moved
that,
as one.
Correct, that the team was elevated above self.
I was for you. You were for me. And by the way, that is the... People say, well, what are you fighting for? And you're fighting for your brother.
Exactly.
You're fighting for your brother. And when the church gets this, and we'll talk more about this because it's very powerful, that's why God tells us that we have to love each other, because our battles will make no sense if you don't love your brother.
Yeah.
If you don't understand we're in this together. Mm-hmm. And God says, you can't even love me if you don't love your brother.
That's right.
That you can see. And that's why we measure where we are in God by how we're willing to fight for our brother.
Mm-hmm.
And the big picture is defined by many small pictures of men and women who are willing to lay down their life for each other. And God handles the big theater of war, spiritual war going on. It's just so important, because I know I think it's one of the things they even say in the Marines. They understand that unity, and that's why they're talking about the foxholes. That's why they're saying it's so important about, you know, integrating women in certain areas and men in certain areas. Is like, can we still have that unity where we're willing to lay down our lives for each other?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the very thing that keeps things together.
Right.
And we win wars because men are willing to die for each other.
Mm-hmm. And to take that in consideration, it's like when we were done with that deployment and we landed back in America and I saw an American sky, green trees.
Trees.
Grass. It was just like I stepped down, and it was just like in one converging moment, it was just like I'm alive. And that awareness of just like I just survived the gauntlet. I mean, I have literally, I have walked through explosions. And to this moment, I don't have a scratch on my body. Moments away and from rounds shot at me, it's like,
but no name on them. You don't know whose name's on that round.
I should not be here.
Right.
And when I got home, I just...
And brothers that didn't make it. And you know, your brothers that walked, that it's like, you know,
Yeah. And it was hard for me because my family at the time were like, tell us what happened. Tell us what happened.
Right.
Hold on a second. Let me get my teeth. Let me sit down. Tell me what happened.
And my teeth or tea?
Like, they would say, let me get my iced tea and I'll sit down.
Okay.
So catch me up. And it was just like...
Really?
This is not talking about the sitcom that you missed, okay?
Right.
And
it's so important because we need to empathize with those who are presently on the front lines for us and that are coming back. They need us to empathize, which means walk in their shoes, and you're helping us do that right now. And I appreciate it. So help us empathize. What is it like for someone to come back?
Yes.
What's going through their mind? What's happening?
At this point, it's like I told you, I disconnected for 4 years. I couldn't empathize. I can't think of the word right now, but it's like you have no emotions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So to come back and now be out of the military, you're like, okay, now I have to, you know, I can have emotions now. And it's like, all right, well, how do I do that?
The first emotion was, I'm alive.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, now I have permission to feel again.
Right.
And as soon as you're in the land of the free.
Right.
That's when you're able to feel. The first feeling you feel is the one that if you would have felt it when you were there, you might not have made it.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I lived through this. I faced the gauntlet, as you put it. Wow.
And so I have family wanting to catch up. I have friends calling me saying, hey, man, are you going to You know, you missed the parties for the last 4 years. Now you got to catch up. Oh, and it's just like, you're so disconnected. And
who
it's just
am
like,
am I? What's going on?
Exactly.
Am I, I'm a
it's like,
person.
I'm the person I was no longer exists. And now you're trying to ask yourself and you're like, okay, can we hit the pause moment here? Like what just happened for the last 4 years?
Which is important because if somebody's trying to relate to that soldier as who they were,
they understand
what you're trying to do, but they're trying to communicate to you. You have to find out who this new person is because I'm not that person anymore.
Exactly.
And it's going to cause me to walk out of this relationship. It's going to cause me to leave this marriage. It's going to cause me even leave the family I love because you will not realize that I am not the same person. But if you are willing to build a relationship with this new man, this new woman who just fought, if you're willing to start again, because you're not the same person anymore after that. You're just not. But it's okay because that's the price of freedom. The price of freedom is like, but if I have to be willing to say that I am willing to stay with, she has to say, I'm willing to stay with my husband and build a new relationship with this man because he fought for our country. That's the price I paid as a wife of somebody who's a soldier that went on the front lines. That's why the whole family, you know, pays that price in there. And many marriages don't make it because they're trying to relate. Let's just get back to where we were. And it's like, there is never getting back there again.
Never will happen.
You know, there's a price. And that was the price for this freedom that we have.
Right. And it was hard for me because, like I said, I just separated. I just started life again, moved to the other side of the United States. Right. And it was just like, okay, how do I do this? And anytime I would think about trying to, okay, what just happened? It was just, I would think about those moments when like I should have died. And I think about all those moments when the brothers that I had breakfast with, that I was cleaning my rifle with, did not come home.
Yes.
And to think about those two paradigms, it would put the utter fear in me, and I would just sit on my couch and just weep and cry because I was like, it would just scare me.
It doesn't fit. It just doesn't fit. There is no mental intellect, and there is no emotion that could connect with why him, why not me, should have been me, why wasn't it me, why was it him, why this is, it doesn't even, it just doesn't fit, you know.
There's just no answer. So at some point, I'm just like, okay, well, I guess I have to be a person again. So I guess that means getting a job.
Well, they call that survivor's guilt. It's like that people start struggling with success. They survived, but yet now they're feeling guilty for surviving to an unconnected, unrelating society who's trying to get you to go back to somebody you don't even know who that person was anymore. You can't believe you thought so small.
Right.
No, that's not me anymore. And it's like, and then so you got to conquer survivor's guilt.
Right.
You know, and these things are surmountable. And we're going somewhere with this because we want to tell you there's hope. This is your journey. There is hope. But we're also talking to you who's not a vet, saying today is the day, today's Veterans Day, for us to empathize and to focus and get out of your shell, understand what they've gone through, and think about, you know what, I could hire 10 people and they're all the same, but one of them is a vet. One of them is a vet. Why would I? This is the reason why. He fought for you to have that business. She fought for you to be able to have the freedom to have that business. That's why you would hire the vet. If they're all the same, you know, why wouldn't you hire the one who just fought for the right, the freedom for you to have that business? Why you do that? Somebody says, I can't believe vets get, you know, 10 extra points on the particular test. It's like, dude, they should just take the job. They should just give them the job.
Just give it to them.
There should not be any unemployed vet who desires to work because they fought for that right to be able to do that. So here you are. You were at that point now. You're going, okay, I guess I got to eat. I got to get a job. Yeah.
I guess I have to go through the daily life, and it's just like you try to get groceries, and you try to go and amidst back to, I guess, what you're supposed to do.
Right.
And it was hard because even then it was just like I realized, like, okay, I have a problem. This is not normal. And I tried talking to psychiatric help or doctors. And
somebody who hasn't been to war.
Exactly. And it was like, this is... I'm going in circles. So I didn't know what else to do. And mind you, this is weeks after being deployed in a combat operation in Iraq. And now
weeks after that.
So very little time has passed at this point. And I waited tables in college. So I was like, well, I guess I'll just wait tables again. So
I want to hear about this. We come back from this break. And I'm like, this is so important because of this is where that you think about this man and this woman who was just dodging death, having to take life at times, is now waiting, bringing you tea, and you don't even know it. And you're not even, since you don't understand Veterans Day, you're not even honoring that. And that they're going through this conflict, and this could cost you something dramatic if you don't pay it and don't honor folks in general. Mm-hmm. But you could be not honoring the person who just came off the front lines. Mm-hmm. And outside of God, it could cost you something. Dave is talking to us. It's Veterans Day today. And if you want to find a place that's celebrating Veterans Day today, go to va.gov, and there's a map there to be able to locate one in your area. Go to the Washington, for those that are listeners that are in Washington, D.C., and viewers from Christian Television Network, we encourage you, go to the memorials. Take the time today to focus on those, because freedom's not free. People have paid tremendous price. Money's nothing compared to the prices that many men and women have paid and are paying as we speak. And Steve's talking to us about what it was like to come back now into society that he had fought for the freedom, and how to integrate back in. And tell us what's going on here.
So I've started to work again, or at least attempted to, and I'm starting to wait tables because I didn't know what else to do. And
so you went from actually shooting guns to, would you like some more tea?
Yes. Seriously.
What a huge adjustment. I mean, just huge. Almost it can't be done.
It's you want a loaded baked potato?
Yeah, right.
That's a total new meaning. Yep.
Wow. Kaboom. That's a grenade. That's not a potato.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And day after day after day after day after day, I would leave work in tears at the verge of exploding. Because I had no patience, no empathy, no understanding, no ability to connect with anyone that I spoke with.
Are Americans demanding?
That is a
understatement.
That is a dire understatement. And the only thing I could think of was just like a few hundred years ago, this was considered kings and queens that were waited on.
Yeah.
And it's like that's we now expect it.
You came from this big impoverished area.
Yes.
The people that don't even know what it's like to have, I mean, like you said, you give them a water bottle, they pour the water out and keep the bottle because it's so precious. Because
it's from America.
It's from America. Then you actually come into America and you see all of us taking it for granted, the blessing that God, we're saying God bless America, is like,
bro,
more?
We've already been blessed.
We've been blessed already.
Oh, yeah.
And now you're waiting on, you know, Americans. And this is Veterans Day. It's why we're talking about it, because we need to have a different perspective of our veterans.
Yeah.
We have to understand. We barricaded and blocked our veterans from getting to their memorials. That's just a travesty. And these are the ones. And now, here Steve is waiting on tables, which is a paradigm shift you can't even make, from demanding, you know, give me some more. You forgot my pickles. Give me some of this. Give me some of that. And it's like, do you treat your mama like this at home? I mean, you know, it's crazy the things that people, how we dishonor each other.
Yeah.
But honoring vets, okay?
So at this specific place where I worked, we had a patio outside where they would sit. There was probably 15 different tables. And if you've never waited tables, each server has like a section. They have like three, four, five tables. Well, there was like, you would get like six or seven or eight tables. And where I was, my boss kept putting me out there, and I knew, like, I had no patience. I was like, please don't put me out there anymore. This might not end well. And I kept asking and asking.
Even your boss did not understand employing
a vet. He kept putting me out there, kept putting me out there.
Did he ever sit down and talk with you about your experiences?
No.
But he knew you were a vet.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if I was, as an employer, it would do an employer good to sit down and say, spend some time getting to know your employees, but especially getting time to know the ones that fought for you the right to have that business, so you can connect with them and understand.
Yeah. And during this one night, I got probably four or five tables, and there was one table was, I think, like five or six people just at one table. And I was running all over, going back and forth. And waiters and waitresses do a lot.
They
do a lot. And this one table, and at this moment, I'm at my breaking point, just flustered. And this lady just goes off on me. She was probably 60, 70 years old, and finger in my face.
She pointed her finger.
Her finger in my face, just starts yelling at the top of her lungs, literally almost spitting at me because I forgot her ranch dressing.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
I
is she okay?
I snapped. And at that one single moment, I went into react mode, and I saw myself punching her in the throat.
Saw yourself doing this?
Yeah, I visually saw it.
I visualized it.
I saw myself punching her in the throat and standing over her dead body.
Which is something you would have got a medal for two months back in the military, but now you're back in the civilization. Now they'll put you behind metal bars for doing what you would have got a medal for in the context of that, potentially.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I saw myself visualizing, I saw myself doing it. And then I opened up my eyes, and she's still screaming at me, and I just shut down. It was like...
She had no idea what you were going through. There was zero empathy and connection, which was... You have to understand, that's what we're doing to our vets. That we're treating them that way. But war is inside of them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We've taught them war. We've taught them death. We've taught them how to kill. And we don't even honor them for fighting for our freedom to be able to have this freedom. And you think about it.
And... It was just like emotional. All the pain over 28 years just came exploding to the surface. I started shaking. I started crying. I just saw red, and it was like I just left. I just walked away, and I went back to the service station where you get like your refills and your cups and stuff like that. And I was just a mess. I was just crying, and I put my hands on the table, and I just said, "God, I don't know you. I don't know where you are, but if you don't come down here and take this, I'm either going to kill myself or I'm going to kill somebody." And as soon as those words left my lips, it was like somebody was standing on me and they just got off.
Wow, all that pressure's gone.
Gone. Mm. And a peace just flooded my life.
And you weren't a Christian prior to that. You didn't know.
Okay. No. To bring up religion, to bring up Jesus, I was like, bro, don't tell me to put my beer down. That means I can't have fun. That's where my life was at. Like, Jesus was the last thing on my mind.
But now he was the first thing on your lips.
I had nothing else to do.
And you cried out to him.
Yeah. A God I didn't know.
Wow.
Answered me immediately.
And he showed up.
And that scared me more than almost killing the old lady because I knew it was God.
Right.
And it was just like, how do you talk back to God? And you're like,
yeah.
And I'm just standing there. Mind you, the restaurant's hustle, you know, bustling. There's people, sound, all this going on. And I'm just standing here in this corner just shaking.
Right.
And
they're probably pretty much thinking it's still the same thing. But now you have a different paradigm. God's real. God's here. God, and I need to say something to him, and I don't know what to say. Yeah. I just cried out, and he answered, right?
Yes. Goodness.
That's so important because right now people think they need to know stuff. And all you got to know is how to cry out to God, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How to cry out.
Yes.
Because he shows up.
Yep.
He shows up.
That's what he's been waiting for your whole life, is just to reach out to him. That's what it says. Yeah. In hopes,
Acts chapter 17 is what he talks about.
The dates and times in hopes that you'd reach out to me.
Mm-hmm.
And at that place, there was another employee who was a Navy veteran,
mm-hmm.
and he was sharing the gospel with me throughout the shifts, and it was like, that's okay, that's your thing. I would never really listen to him, but that day I was just like, I was looking for him, and I told him what had happened, and he said, well, let's go get something to eat,
mm-hmm.
and this is after working like 10 hours, and we went out to another restaurant, and
well, I'll tell you what. We're going to finish this conversation on the other side. This is so, so very, very important. We are talking about Veterans Day today. We are talking to a vet, Steve Kalaszewski, who did 2 tours of duty in Iraq. And he's talking to us about his transitioning back from the front lines of war, because freedom's not free and the price that he's paid. So we can empathize and celebrate and connect with this, the reality of what it takes to have a country. But then... no matter what, outside of God, none of it makes sense. None of it makes sense. And so here you are, transitioning back. You said, okay, it's a couple weeks later. I guess I got to get a job. And you got a job as a waiter. Think about it. From fighting battles to now I'm going to bring you some tea. And you're going through that moment where this lady begins to scream at you and demand more ranch dressing.
Yep. More things.
Not realizing that what you would have got a medal for if somebody's attacking you as a soldier 90 days ago, you know, they're going to attack a soldier. That means they're not going to make it.
Right.
But today, 90 days later, You're no longer a soldier, but you're a citizen on the outside, but the inside, you're still a soldier. And here she's attacking you at this table. Nobody's connecting to you. You're trying to find out what all this means. And you black out. I mean, all you're seeing is red, and everything just, all the thing just floods in. And you go back to the drink station. What happens at that point?
And I went back to the drink station not knowing what else to do. And I just put my hands on the counter, and I just cried out, and I just said, God, I don't know where you are, but if you don't come down here, if you don't take this, I'm either going to kill myself or I'm going to kill somebody.
Were you that calm when you said it?
No, no. At that point, mm-hmm. I'm weeping. I'm shaking. I'm at utter explosion. Every pain and just cry in my life has just exploded to the surface.
Right.
And I've got no other option. I've tried everything else. Mm-hmm. And as soon as those words left my lips, it was like somebody was standing on me and they just got off.
Like an elephant was on your shoulders and just stepped off. God removed the pressure off of you that quick.
And a peace just flooded, absolutely flooded my life, flooded my just where I was standing. And that scared me more than almost killing the old lady 5 minutes ago.
Right.
Because I knew it was God.
Right.
And I had no idea how to respond.
No grid.
Right.
Nothing.
And
it was just like, you're like, how do you talk back to God? And it was that moment of just like, God just responded to me.
It reminds me of Acts chapter 17, where he says, God chose the very seasons and the times that you would live, even your very address, to do one thing, to see if you would reach out for him, though he's not far from you.
Yep.
And if that's the moment,
yep.
he was there all along.
Yep. Setting that up.
Setting that
he
up.
He allowed her to come to me.
He allowed all that, everything. But then you cried out, and that's what all he wanted.
Yep.
And he responded, which shows you that this pressure on us is a spiritual pressure, isn't it? Because God can take that pressure off. You're thinking you need medication. You're thinking you need, you know, to end your life or end someone else's life. All this crazy stuff's going on. That's the same pressure. It's spiritual. You wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. And all that heaviness was spiritual heaviness, mm-hmm. that just the one cry for God can just wave his hand over you and it ends instantly. The pressure is gone, like an elephant getting off your chest or off your shoulders. Isn't that awesome?
That's powerful.
Crawl into me and I will answer you. That's what Israel did under great bondage. They cried out to God and say, free us from all this captivity and this bondage. And God heard their cries and he responded and he freed Israel from captivity and brought them in the wilderness to meet him. And that's what was happening, wasn't it?
Yep.
He cried out and he answered.
Yeah, and it's amazing. It's just like there was another employee who I worked with who was a Navy veteran at the time as well. And throughout the shifts, he had tried talking to me about Jesus and talking to me about the gospel. And it was like, that's okay, dude. That's not my thing. Mm-hmm. But that night, I was looking for him. I was like, hey, I had to tell him what had happened. And he said, oh, that's cool. He said, well, let's go get something to eat. And we went out to another restaurant, and I was 28 years old, and that was the first time I heard the message of Jesus Christ.
Beautiful. Mm.
And I remember sitting across the table from him, and it was just like, this is what I have been searching for my whole life.
Right.
Whatever I have to do, I says, I want to know this Jesus that you're telling me about.
Because just because you cry out, just because he responds to you, don't mean you yet know him.
Yeah, you just encountered him.
Right.
Now you got to make a choice, and you have to accept him and ask him to come in your life. Because there's a lot of people that say, he touched me. It's like, all right.
Yeah.
But there's got
to
be
only to have the same pressure come back in your life again. What happened is like, well, no.
Sevenfold.
The kingdom of God was being preached to you. You experienced the kingdom. Now you have to invite the kingdom into your heart. You have to invite the Lord in. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So in that, it was amazing because I had fought for freedom and heard people talk about freedom and providing that blanket of freedom, only for the first time to ever encounter freedom in Jesus Christ.
That's true freedom.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about different governments and our government in America. We talk about the United States Constitution, but realize when they wrote the Constitution, they wrote the Declaration of Independence, they said one nation under God. See, these men had freedom with God before the nation began. And America is a byproduct of the kingdom of God.
Right.
And so we're fighting for the founding principles of this nation. We're fighting for what you just found out.
Mm-hmm.
This God, when we say one nation under God, that's what you were under darkness.
Mm-hmm.
But when you cried out to the one who said that I'll lift this nation up, He responded, didn't he?
Yeah, immediately.
That's still beautiful. That is so beautiful.
Yeah.
And so what would you, so here you are, you cried out to the Lord, and the Lord answered you, and he began to take you through a process of healing, and because those kind of moments, everything that's ever happened in your life surfaces. I mean, it's like how about one tragedy at a time? Why does everything have to come up at the same time? Because they're all been built up by the enemy trying to take you down. And so he just piles them up and throws them on you. But God delivers us from those things. And so it was God that began a journey in your life as you began to, he says, those who follow my teachings are really my disciple. Then they know the truth, and the truth will set them free. So what happened as you began to learn the truths of God when you said you made Jesus the Lord of your life? What happened as you learn more and more, and we're still learning as we walk in God, right?
Yeah, you never stop learning. But I was just like, I went through that process of just getting related, being connected with a family of believers in Jesus Christ, getting discipled.
Yeah.
Understanding the fact that, okay, you know, he says bear fruit in keeping with repentance.
Right.
It's not just saying a prayer and just being like, oh, I'm good. It's like you got to go through and spend time in the Word, because that's just the beginning.
Because he says you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if you want to be free from all that stuff that's happening to you right now, you don't do that by just saying a prayer. Yeah. You've encountered freedom himself at that point. Now you need to get to know freedom.
Yes.
And when you become his disciple, you're learning the teachings, you're following the ways of the creator of the universe, Jesus, who gives you the ability, like a flashlight, to look at all these dark situations. You go, oh, my goodness. Yeah. You know, it's like revelation comes to you, enlightenment.
Yeah. And I'd say the biggest thing, if open your Bible.
What a concept.
If you don't have your Bible, if you don't have a Bible, get one.
Yeah.
And don't just get one just because. Get one that you can understand.
Yeah.
Get one that you can read. And don't just read it like you do a math book.
Right.
Cry out to God. And don't just say, I pray to God every day. It's just like, okay, cool. Does he talk back?
Right.
Do you hear his voice?
How about abiding?
I mean, yes. Yeah. That was the huge thing for me, is just like when I began abiding, and you can go to iabide.org, very simple. And to know the fact that God is talking to me, and that awareness of like, do you know who I am? Do you know what I'm just like? Are you sure you want to? Really?
Because when you first experienced him in the drink station, you didn't know him yet.
Not at all.
And when you said, I want to know you, then when you began to abide with him, y'all began to build a relationship. You and God, through an abiding relationship, he just continually reveals himself.
Yes.
To you. He kind of has our number.
Yeah.
You know, but he wants to hear from us, you know.
Yes.
And you get to know this God. That's what happened through an abiding relationship, right? Discipleship and abiding.
And that was the huge thing for me, is just like as I was reading through the Bible and reading through specifically what Jesus was saying, it was just like, I got to change some things here. There's some things that need to get cut out of my life.
Right.
But it was, but God is just so good, because it's just like when you encounter him, you realize that he's so much better than anything that you have to give up, because he's worth it.
And there's two things we want to say at this point, is if you don't know Jesus Christ yet, if you don't know the creator of the universe, you don't know this God that Steve is talking about, you can meet him today. You go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories there, and even Steve's stories there. And we want to introduce you to him through his son, Jesus Christ. And then we want to bring you into an abiding relationship with him. We got a simple abiding plan available for you at iabide.org. You can request your free abiding plan today. You just fill out the simple information there, and immediately it'll be sent to you in your email. Understand this. Reverend Billy Graham, that everybody's been talking about and talks about, you know, continually. Dutch Sheets, another man of God who looks and begins to explain things that are taking place. Another man that loves Jesus, has been walking with the Lord for quite some time, who's seen heaven and seen God, Rick Joyner, over and over. And we're saying again, listen, abide, 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 because that's where you get to know this Jesus.
Yeah.
That's where you get to know him. And it's impossible to do anything outside this abiding relationship. Request your free plan today at iabide.org. We are really trying to get a perspective, and I really believe it's going well. I mean, I really feel like we're getting a more dimensional understanding of what this day is about and how horrific it was to be able to block veterans in any way from anything, jobs, opportunity, houses, memorials. I mean, come on. And we need to begin to honor those who have, from the beginning, I don't care how old the veteran is, and including their family, understand they have a different husband now, a different wife now that she's back. from being on the front lines that he's back, and that we have to honor them, help them out in the context of that. And Steve, I appreciate you sharing your story and your life and how God was the answer. The freedom that you were fighting for in so many different areas of your life, what revealed the fact that you were fighting for was freedom in God mm-hmm. through his son, Jesus Christ. And so there's somebody out there. There's three questions I want to ask you. And I appreciate if you would talk to this aspect from your own personal experience. The first one is, there's a man or woman that's out there right now,
yeah.
and they are thinking horse, saddle, man. I mean, yeah. they're out there, and they're getting ready to go. They're in that zone. They've kind of disconnected from their emotions so they could do their job.
Yep.
They're having those paradigms of, here we are trying to save our life. Who's for us? Who's against us? Is America even standing with us? My own congressman said he's not going to fund me in this war. Yet this little three-year-old boy is eating his food. All these paradigms are going on. And some of their brothers and sisters didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're being injured with some sort of brain injury or some sort of physical injury, some IEDs going off, and all these paradigms are going on. What would you say to them? Because the truth is, some make it, some don't make it. That's why we don't want to go to war. War is ugly. That's why we don't want to do it. But if we do go to war, we all need to go to war together
mm-hmm.
and get in and get out. What would you say to this person on the front line right now that's listening that has not yet found mm-hmm. this freedom that you found? Because mm-hmm. at any moment, their life could come mm-hmm. to an end.
You just don't know.
You don't know.
No matter all the things that you've done, the good things that you've done, me personally, if one bullet would have been a different direction, if God would not have covered me walking through that explosion, I would be eternally separated from Jesus Christ. I would be in hell.
Yeah.
And that's the question, is that just because of all whatever, you just don't know. If you stepped outside the friendly lines, that doesn't mean that you're coming home. Because that you're in a Humvee and you've got armor, that doesn't mean anything. The only reason why that you woke up today is because God breathed into your life.
Mm.
Is because God gave you the ability to walk. And if you don't know him, you can cry out to him right now and say, I don't know Jesus Christ.
Mm.
I want him to come into my life.
Mm.
It's not religious.
Right on the front line, right there where you're at.
Right on the front lines, whether you're yeah. in the chow hall,
yeah.
whether you're in your room,
yeah.
whether you're walking down to the PX, whether right. you're sitting on the Humvee and you're on watch, you're behind the turret,
right.
you're on patrol, wherever.
Right.
God is not one location. He's everything. He's everywhere.
Mm.
And he's waiting for that cry.
Because he says in Acts 17, like we said, that he was right there in that restaurant when you cried out. Instantly, he responded.
Yeah.
And you were more fearful now of this God you found out is real.
Mm-hmm.
Then think about it. If you're all concerned about the government that might not be openly standing with you, the media that's just doing these terrible things in regards to how they respond to you, a disconnected public, and you're wondering what you're doing on the front lines, and it's just kind of converging on you, I just ask you right now to do the very same thing that Steve did. Just cry out and say, God, if you're real, show yourself to me. I need you. I don't know you, but show yourself to me. Be honest. Be sincere. Don't be religious. Show yourself to me, and he will, won't he?
Immediately.
He really will. And once that happens, everything's in the perspective.
Yep.
And then you want to get to know him.
Yeah.
You want to make him the Lord of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, yeah. And then, so I want you to have another perspective here for us, you know, for this is vet that just, you know, he got his orders now, or she's got her orders all typed out in that beautiful, ugly paper they give you to be able to say, these are my orders, I'm about to go back to society.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everybody's going, man, you're so lucky, you know, you're so lucky. I have 3 more weeks left. I have 2 more months left. I got a whole another year left. And you see another crew coming to take your place who just got there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still in the zone now. Talk to that man or woman now that's there on that aircraft. They're looking at folks around them, and they don't even know what they're about to face. And they're tentatively, potentially going to face it alone if they don't. Then what would you say to them now yeah. so they would not have to? They need to prepare themselves for this.
Mm-hmm.
How could they do that? Talk to that person.
You can't expect others to empathize what they've never walked through. It's just yeah. unfair.
Yeah.
But you're not alone. You never have been. It's just your focus on what you see. And the reality is just that God is for you. The answer is not in a medication. The answer is not in a relationship. It's not in a marriage. It's not in a job. It's not in a house. It's not in anything other than Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. This transition is not going to be easy. It's not a going through a separation and transition package that they give you when, yeah. when you're separating or reading through a couple right. bullet points and figuring out how to write a resume.
Right.
You went through 2 years or however many years you went through to be able to deploy. Mm-hmm. Be honest with yourself that it's going to take time to be able to transition back. But that transition is only going to be able to be doable through Jesus Christ.
That's right.
That's it.
And not try to get back to who you were because you're not the same person anymore.
Yeah.
You're a better person.
Yeah.
You fought.
So you have that perspective.
We have freedom now.
Yeah.
Because you fought. You did what heroes have done in the past. You stood up and fought for this country. Mm-hmm. And you're not the same person anymore.
Right.
And I think about this, you know, you're talking about unable to empathize. There's one thing about Jesus. He was tempted in every way, yet without sin. So he's able to empathize with you as a soldier. He's able to empathize. So when other people can't empathize, God can feel your pain.
Yeah.
He can feel what it's like to be rejected. He can feel like what it's like to be in the midst of a whole bunch of folks and you're for them, but they're against you.
Mm-hmm.
You're hoping that they make it, but yet they're trying to nail you to a cross. You're here only to help them, but yet they're betraying you.
Right.
You know, and that's Jesus. Jesus understands your pain.
Mm-hmm.
He understands that. And he could say, you know what? I came down so I could feel your pain, but people, you know, lied on me. People denied mm-hmm. me. People did not acknowledge me. I just did good things for them, healed them, forgave them, delivered them. And some did, and they followed me, but some didn't. And then they nailed me to a cross.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody can empathize with your journey, it would be Jesus.
Yeah.
And so you want to find that empathy. The empathy is found at the cross of Christ. It's found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then as you cry out to him and then get to know him, he'll begin to heal and reveal himself to you on that journey, can he?
Absolutely.
It's a powerful, powerful
thing. And that's where the reality is just that the fact that it's only through admitting the fact that this pain that you're trying to carry, this tension, it's because you're trying to do it apart from Jesus.
Right. Trying to be mm-hmm. God.
You're trying to do it. And it's just like, you were never meant to do it.
Nope. Mm-mm. Nope. And this is the last person. And this is the majority of America that they're walking in the fruit of those who've laid down their lives, laid down their loved ones, sacrificed their health, became a different person because they went to the front lines. They fought for us.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the Americans they can't connect to that. I mean, yeah. They didn't do it, but yet they benefited from it. They're walking in the fruit of that. And so talk to them. How can they honor, it's Veterans Day.
Yes.
And really Veterans Day is 365 days a year because you wouldn't have a country and freedom outside mm-hmm. those that have fought for it. What would you say to the typical American citizen today?
Seeing a veteran is not your opportunity to ask them what their political views are in the war. It's that moment to just say, thank you. It's that moment to say, I'm for you because you fought for me. It's that moment to say, what can I do for you? And don't be surprised when they get jittery because there's a text message going off or there's an engine just backfired. It's like, that's normal.
Right.
Because it's not normal to you. It doesn't mean that they're different. Pray for them.
Hire them.
Hire them.
Be patient.
Yes. Understand the fact that they're going through something. Share with them. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, tell them about Jesus.
Pray for them.
Pray for them.
Yes.
Support them.
I'm here for you.
Just
you are
listen
there for
to
me.
Them.
Yeah.
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 And if they don't know what to say, mm-hmm. that's okay.
Right.
That is okay. Let them go through that time.
Right. Right. And that's so important. Let them know that I'm committed to you. I'm committed to you. And you get a chance to hire a veteran. You get a chance to stand there for them. You get a chance to stand beside them and say thank you. Tell them, even though it seems like they don't even receive it, tell them because there'll be a day that they'll get back into this place again and that will come down and land in their heart to realize, I have perspective. I fought for this country and mm-hmm. that was important. That's why we have it. Thank you to all of our veterans this Veterans Day as we honor you and we celebrate you this Veterans Day in America. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on the Emerald Coast, WHB audience, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if you're not or not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.
Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit our sponsors and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country, in that order, and Israel, as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.